ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 1, entitled The History of the Life of Ajami, text 63. Tannimitta Smara Vyaja Graha Grasto Vichetana Tam Eva Manasa Dhyayam Svadharma Virarama Ha Tannimitta Smara Vyaja Tannimitta smara vyaja Graha grasto vichetana Graha grasto vichetana Tam eva manasa dhyaya Tam eva manasa dhyaya Svadharmat vidaramaha Svadharmadvidarama Tannimitta smara vyaja Graha grasto vichetana Tam eva manasa dhyaya Svadharmadvidarama Tannimitta smara vyaja Graha grasto vichetana Tameva manasa dhyaya Svadharma viraramaha. Mataji? Tat nimita, caused by the sight of her. Smara vyaja, taking advantage of his, thinking of her always. Graha Grasta, being caught by an eclipse. Vichetana, having completely forgotten his real position. Tam, her. Eva, certainly. Manasa, by the mind. Dhyayan, meditating upon. Sadharmat, from the regulative principles executed by a Brahmana. Vidaramaha, he completely sees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the same way that the sun and moon are eclipsed by a low planet, the Brahmana lost all his good sense. Taking advantage of this situation, he always thought of the prostitute, and within a short time he took her as a servant in his house and abandoned all the regulative principles of a Brahmana. Purport. By speaking this verse, Shukadev Goswami wants to impress upon the mind of the reader that Ajamila's exalted position as a Brahmana was vanquished by his association with a prostitute. So much so that he forgot all his Brahminical activities. Nevertheless, at the end of his life, by chanting the four syllables of the name Narayan, he was saved from the gravest danger of falling down. Svalpamapyasya dharmasya rayate mahatobhayat. Even a little devotional service can save one from the greatest danger. Devotional service, which begins with chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is so powerful that even if one falls down from the exalted position of a Brahmana through sexual indulgence, he can be saved from all calamities if he somehow or other chants the holy name of the Lord. This is the extraordinary power of the Lord's holy name. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it is advised that one not forget the chanting of the holy name, even for a moment. Satatam kirtayam tomam yatam tascha vidavataha. There are so many dangers in this material world that one may fall down from an exalted position at any time. Yet, if one keeps himself always pure and steady by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he will be safe without a doubt. Graha grasto vichetana tam eva manasa dhyayam svadharmat viraramaha. In the same way that the sun and moon are eclipsed by a low planet, the Brahmana lost all his good sense. Taking advantage of this situation, he always thought of the prostitute, and within a short time he took her as a servant in his house and abandoned all the regulative principles of a Brahmana. So here we find this very beautiful analogy that describes the consciousness and the position of the Ajami. In the same way that the sun and moon are eclipsed by low planets, the Brahmana lost all his good sense. It's a very wonderful analogy. We know that actually planet Rahu is far greater in size, although he is situated in a lower position in comparison towards the sun and the moon. And he is definitely empowered, very powerful personality, Rahu himself. When his head was cut off by Vishnu in the form of his Mohini incarnation, He was simultaneously also given a blessing and benediction to assume the position of this particular planet, and which we know has certain functions, certain purpose as well. So his purpose was to definitely affect, like you see here, sun and the moon, but definitely to affect mostly in relationship to other living beings, their particular types of karma, in a good or different kinds of negative ways. Rahu affects people definitely as something more. It's kind of known as a very negative, demonic planet, which he definitely is. But sometimes Rahu can be also very favorable. Anyway, I won't discuss now about effects of the Rahu planet. There are so many various kinds of ways that Rahu is affecting people. But sometimes Rahu can be very favorable also. It's not that it's always so negative. Sometimes Rahu can be favorable and bring out even more hidden qualities that somebody actually might be possessing within, rather than to hide them. But in general, he is negative. In general, he's very negative. So in a similar way, lust, when we talk about lust, it's a very, 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 it's a very negative, very horrible, how do you call it? It's very power, it's an energy, it's a force that, as we know, Krishna describes as something that affects everybody in this material world. We are all conditioned by this power of lust. But lust in itself is nothing else than a perverted, most wonderful feeling of pure love towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now, depending how do we utilize this particular propensity that we have, that particular quality that we have, it will affect us in one way or the other. So it is definitely, this particular condition stage, the lust is absolutely negative. But actually, if it is held properly, if it is understood how it can be engaged in the service of Krishna, it can have so many positive effects, then it becomes something very positive, something that can be very beneficial for everyone. As we know, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kamasmi Bharatarsha, I am that lust, actually, that can be engaged in the devotional service. But of course, it is something that we have to be very cautious about. It's not such an easy thing to deal with. In general, in our conditioned state, it is to be considered to be an enemy. The most greatest enemy, actually, in this world. So this is what lust is. Kama esha krodha esha rajaguna samadha mahasana mahapapma vidyena miha vairina. So it's the greatest enemy. And if the lust is fulfilled, even if it is fulfilled, then it resolves, it inflames, it increases the greed of the person. It's unsatiable. We know the example has been given, like pouring the ghee into the fire. It is insatiable. And then again, if it's not fulfilled, then it results in another very negative, bad quality, that is anger. Then it results in the anger. So the lust is very, very formidable enemy that we have to be very, very cautious about. Like when there is a war, definitely won't place trust in an enemy. So it is not very clear sometimes to distinguish actually who the enemy is. That's the worst thing. When there is some conflict going on, then we have to be able to understand with whom we are dealing with. The worst thing is if we think that somebody is our friend, actually. That is the worst thing. What does that mean? Somebody's our friend. That means we will have full trust and confidence in that particular person. Like, for example, just last few months, at least in the eyes of the American government, that case of the, what is the name of that fellow, Snowden, something like this, who took all the information, very confidential information, in regards to spying on the other countries, and there have been many issues with other countries as well. Germany was objecting very much to towards the American foreign policies and spying upon them, and so many cases like this. But the point was that they initially, at least from the point of present American government, that person, he appeared to be, you know, one of them, and one who will enhance whatever their policies they have. And they trusted him, and they confined within him, and he had the access towards all these different kinds of spying information. So he was given even responsibility to deal with all these different things. But at some point, of course, there's a different thing now, for whichever reason. He considered that this is not something that should be withdrawn and kept secret and confidential, and he didn't consider that to be beneficial for anyone whatsoever. So he exposed the whole whatever that policy government had, American government had in relationship to other countries. So then he turned to be an enemy, basically an enemy of that particular, of this particular American government. And there are so many spying cases that happen throughout practically history. This is the most common thing that actually any government in relationship to some other have, because it's very difficult to put the trust in somebody who appears, as we said, to be friend, especially somebody who tries to exploit others and benefit selfishly for himself. And this is in general what is going on here in this world. So the point here is that the worst is if we consider somebody to be our friend, who appears to be our friend, and we entrust him with so many confidential information, and then he turns practically his back upon us. And then definitely there's going to be a lot of suffering. There's going to be a lot of problems. So in a similar way, this last act, appearing very, very friendly, very trustworthy, and promising so many wonderful things, that if you associate with the opposite sex, and if you deal in such a particular way, and if you do this, if you do that, if you watch this, if you hear this, if you touch this, whatever, then you will be very happy and satisfied. And this is my advice to you. You should definitely do that. So in so many ways, this Mr. Lust, as Srila Prabhupada would call it, is trying to convince us that this is something that is for our benefit. Whereas actually, internally, that particular Mr. Lust is actually thinking how to harm us. The most wonderful example is from Mahabharata. We know that Shakuni, he appeared to be very, very friendly towards Duryodhana, for example. And that he did everything for his benefit. But actually, Shakuni had hidden motives to actually destroy Duryodhana. And apparently it seems like he was helping him a lot to harm Pandavas in so many various ways. But actually, internally, he was cherishing this desire to actually see Duryodhana being completely destroyed. So in a similar way, this Mr. Lust is trying to drift us away from our real self-interest. It's trying to completely distract us from the path of the devotional service in so many ways. And we are unfortunately practically unaware what is happening to us. So that's why we have to be extremely cautious. That's why we have to understand how to recognize this enemy that actually appears to be our friend. This is why Krishna in Bhagavad Gita explains that if you want to deal with an enemy, then we have to know, like in the war, what his strategic positions actually are. Like if you fight in the war, you won't just, you know, send your army to any particular front line or here or there. There's a lot of tactics going on. There's a lot of intelligence involved. How to utilize your forces against the forces of the other side. It's a lot of intelligence involved. This is how the chess game has been basically produced, manifest. Because Kshatriyas were utilizing their intellectual powers to strategize in this particular game. And as we know, even again pointing out towards Mahabharata, how different kinds of formations have been always formed, trying to, you know, get the advantage over the enemy, which might even have greater power. which may even have greater force, even as we know how many Akshahinis less Pandavas had in comparison towards Kauravas. But they were, of course, they had Krishna. Not necessarily that they were, you know, more strategically equipped. Actually, they were not. Bhima has been compared. Bhima was the general in chief of the Pandavas, and he has been compared like a small fish, and even Arjuna. They were all compared like a small fish in relationship to great Timingilas. So definitely, they didn't have so many. Actually, they didn't have any chance practically of winning the battle. So in that sense also, we don't have much chance when we fight, when we are supposed to fight that Mr. Lass, who also comes in the disguise. That's the even worse thing. So that's the only option, the only chance is to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and especially as we know what the process is here in Kali Yuga, the chanting of His holy name. This is the process. When Hanuman went to Lanka and he was in search of Sita, and we know Hanuman is a brahmachari, and he found himself in a very great uncomfortable situation because he had to find Sita. And how to find Sita? In the palace where Ravana lived, there were so many hundreds of different queens and princesses, and he never met Sita. Hanuman never met Sita. He never knew how Sita was looking like. But still, he had to figure that out. And he had to do it all alone. So he had to search. As we know, Ravana was kidnapping princesses and all the different ladies from all over the universe. And all his palace was filled with it. And when Hanuman was searching, you know, and especially he couldn't do that openly, so he went in the night when everybody was sleeping. And he saw those ladies in this red cloth and this waist, you know, resting and that way. You know, Hanuman was, you know, very disturbed. It was a very difficult task. But still he didn't give it up. And the way that he protected himself and the way that he was able to handle the situation, who knows what it was. How was he able to remain focused on his service? Huh? Yes, he was chanting constantly, Ram, 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 Ram. He was taking shelter of Lord Ram's name. Otherwise it would have been impossible. Well, maybe for Hanuman it would be possible. I guess it would, because still he is a special jiva. He's not conditioned like we are. So in the similar way, of course, when we hear, like when we are hearing about the Jamil, seeing particular instances that are taking place that may affect us, and then definitely affect us relating this to our present day situation, we have to be extremely conscious and practical and cautious, and we practically all the time have to take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. Coming back to this analogy just in the beginning that we have mentioned, it is very interesting that when the eclipse takes place, it is not that it affects the sun and the moon, to which Rahu is kind of related to. But when the eclipse takes place, it's inauspicious for everyone. So we should also consider that sometimes, like we know, unfortunately, even in our spiritual life, when somebody is affected by the lust and gets somehow distracted from the devotional life, the higher position that person has, the more people become affected by it. So it is something really, really destructive, something really detrimental that we have to be very, very careful about, especially if we hold some kind of higher position. And there are many people or devotees in our particular case that are dependent. So we have to be very, very extremely careful. How do we handle Mr. Lust? We should never be putting trust again in the lust in itself. Because as I said again, it may appear very friendly and for whichever reason, but it is our greatest enemy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, once he was visited by his mother and sister. And although they were in advanced age, as a similar story by Srila Prabhupada. But then, one brahmachari who was there with Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj, he got up to leave the room. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj stopped him, "Where are you going?" And then brahmachari was, he was thinking actually, you know, these are his family members, maybe he wants to discuss something in private. So I should get up and leave. Maybe I shouldn't be present. But then Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj stopped and said, "Do you want me to fall down?" So it's incredible. We can see what is the attitude of the acharya. Prabhupada also. Prabhupada wouldn't even remain in the story, but him being with his sister Pishima. He also requested, I mean, he asked, he wanted devotees to be present still with him. So this is the way that we always have to be cautious, because that lust can affect anyone at any moment. Of course, there's no question of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj being affected by lust of Srila Prabhupada, but as the acharyas, they show by their example how we should be very cautious. Because it is described that our mind affected by the lust is like wounded wild animal. When the wounded wild animal is captured, it is very dangerous actually. It's worse than, you know, when being, say, even free, roaming around. It's the worst condition. And you cannot place trust in such kind of an animal, especially captured animal. And maybe sometimes an animal can become and appear very domestic, timid kind of, but actually just looking for the particular loophole or some kind of way where it can just immediately run and escape. So we shouldn't put trust in such kind of an animal, especially hunters, no, they don't ever put trust. They take very good precautions. So in a similar way, Mr. Lust is also like this, or our mind, while affected by the lust. We cannot put trust in our mind, although it may try to convince us, due to so many old previous impressions that it has, that no, maybe earlier. And it, of course, affects us in a way that we forget whatever the reality is, how flickering that particular experience, and actually how painful and frustrating, disappointing it is. But still, mind will try to convince us, no, maybe this time it will be different and better and whatever and this and that. Because once impression is made, this is something that we all unfortunately have to deal with. That when once impression is made, like you have some kind of a clay or something, you make an impression of whatever, hand, like say, like when they put in cow dung, like when sometimes in the village they make these chapatis, cow dung chapatis, gobar, gotipare, gobar hase. How's that? In Bengali, is that saying? Anyway, so they put it on the wall, so there is an impression. So the point of an impression, it gives us the idea that it tends, you know, to be fulfilled. So whatever impression has been made, the same thing, you know, you have to, same kind of an object, so to say, or same kind of a thing, you have to put it in the same place so that you get a complete thing. You get smooth, you get kind of, you know, original shape. That is the idea. So in a similar way, impression means when we get different kinds of impressions in the mind, the tendency is that the same kind of thing is searched for by the mind itself, is hankered for by the mind in itself to get its fulfillment, completeness. So we are all impressed by so many horrible things, and we are still getting impressed, that's the whole point. And naturally mind gravitates towards that particular experience again and again and again. Being functioning in such a way to get its completeness. But actually this is the wrong thing, because there are different kinds of impressions again. And again, if it is something that is so negative that it affects us in such a negative way, stimulating our lower conditioned nature, then definitely it will be very detrimental for us and we'll have to suffer. But if the impression is of the higher nature, that means our original spiritual nature, then it will be very positive, very beneficial. So that's why in the spiritual life, we practice Krishna consciousness and we try to acquire as many positive impressions as we can. Festivals, nice prasadam, whatever, good chanting, hearing experiences, associations, so many wonderful impressions, as many as we can, going to the holy places, so that actually those impressions remain within our mind, and the mind hankers after the same impressions, trying to complete itself, fulfill itself again. So that is the whole secret of the spiritual life, looking for the positive impressions. That's why it is said, if you die, yam yam vapis manambam. We know that. Whatever impression is the strongest, it will lead us to our next destination. That's why it is said, when the Ratha Yatra is there and you see the big eyes of Lord Jagannath, then definitely this impression is going to be so strong that when we die, then definitely won't remember anything else except the big, big, beautiful, smiling face of Lord Jagannath. But if we have an impression like an Ujjamila has, and we try to entertain and cultivate those impressions, then definitely we'll end up in very horrible state. Jayato vishayam punsa sangha steshu pajayati sangha sanjayati kama kama krodha pajayati krodha bhavati samoha samoha smiti vibrama smiti bramsha vinasha gurinasha pranasha. This is what's going to happen. You'll fall down. So that's why we have to be very careful what kind of impressions we cultivate. And understand what that enemy is. That is very important. That's why we have to discuss about these different kinds of relationships, affairs and things over and over and over and over, and constantly cultivate our intelligence, constantly cultivate that knowledge with our own personal experiences that we even had. We shouldn't forget that. And especially seeing what's going on at present. We always have to cultivate it because we forget. We have the tendency of forgetfulness. That's why we always have to bring the same things over and over and over and over. In association of the devotees. We see here what Yajamu's problem was. He wasn't in association. You can't deal with Mr. Lust alone. It's impossible. This is what here Prabhupada is pointing out. You can't deal with Mr. Lust. It's such a powerful enemy. But if we know its strategic position, as Krishna is pointing out in Bhagavad Gita, it's in the mind, it's in the senses, it's in the intelligence. If you know how to handle this, then things become much easier. But it is very difficult, again, even if we try to do that ourselves. That's why we need help. That's why we need association. That's why we need other devotees. How many times we also get outside and try to do whatever devotional service is. Now we're going to be going on a station. There's going to be a lot of challenges also. And sometimes something that appears very friendly and innocent can turn into greater disaster. Slowly, slowly, if we keep it, you know, deeply hidden. And if we don't reveal our mind. That's why we need very close association. That's why we need friends. This is unfortunately something that Ajamila didn't have. So that's how we have to be careful about the lust. So how to deal with the lust is we have to be properly situated. We know what means properly situated. Then we are powerful. Then no enemy can conquer us. We know the story of Gajendra and crocodile. When somebody is properly situated in his particular condition, nature, it is condition, Varnashram is still condition, but still, it enables us, it brings out all our powers and qualities that we can pursue more easily devotional service and progress much faster. That we know, that Gajendra wasn't properly situated and he lost his battle with the crocodile. So in the similar way we have to be properly situated, whichever ashram that might be. Ashram is not important. What is important is attaining back that original pure love of Godhead. This is what is important. We can give one analogy, like say, if our arm is broken and it pains, we get that, how you call this stuff, cast and it's still pain. But what is the goal? To cure it. To get it fixed. That's the goal. But it's pain. So then, sometimes what will happen, doctor will prescribe some painkillers. Or Hemagiri Prabhu, sometimes he has his box, he has different kinds of painkillers. Sometimes he gives one type, he gives another type. But what may happen, one painkiller, somebody may be allergic to one kind of painkiller. Somebody else might be allergic to different kind of painkillers. So this is what Brahmacharya Ashram and Grihastha Ashram are. There are different kinds of painkillers. Somebody might be a little more allergic to one, somebody a little more to another. But it doesn't matter. You take the one which suits you most. But that's not the goal. Painkiller is not the goal because we know the painkiller won't solve the real problem. Real problem is healing the arm. That's the point. But we use whichever painkiller suits us to regain our original position. So similarly, we see that Ajamila, although being, so to say, situated properly, but he didn't have the association yet. He didn't take the shelter of the holy name. Because that's the only way, like you said, Hanuman, that is the only way, actually, to have that higher state. Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here in this purport. You know, svalpam abhyasya dharmasya trayato mahato bhavato. No, that's the other way. Where is that? Anyway, that's also a little advancement in the devotional life to save us from. But rasa vajam asubhyasya param drishtvani vajam. Having that higher taste of the holy name, this is something that can save us from the greatest danger, actually. From the greatest enemy. That is the point. So always taking shelter of the holy name. And here it's explained why Ajamila fell down. It fell down because he wasn't a Vaishnava. He was a Brahman on the, you know, sattva level. But he didn't have experience of Shuddha sattva. Sattva can be always contaminated with the lower modes. At any moment. Although somebody might appear very devoted, very whatever, advanced and this and that. But it can fall down any moment. So we always, as Vaishnavas, we have to be always cautious. And always strive for the Shuddha Sattva platform by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we will stop here because we have a program. Okay, we'll maybe time for some questions. There is a program following and anyway, that I think Krishna probably is going to announce. Okay, so I won't mention. Well, Rasa Sindhu Prabhu left his body this morning, so... Hare Krishna, anyway, come. So, what... Rasa Sindhu Prabhu was one of the devotees doing life membership here. So we'll have a... We have to finish earlier. Yeah, Jamashtami. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Afternoon, okay. Okay. So the announcement is that after 9 o'clock everybody should assemble. That means after 15 minutes everybody should assemble in Gurukul Hall, and then it's going to be the body will be brought and then, okay, we're taken to crematorium. So we all should be there and loudly chant. So, okay, and we'll take in the meantime prasad. Okay, fine. Chamashtami.
Hare Krishna. There's as I travel to different temples in ISKCON, I see that there's an epidemic that goes on during japa period, where devotees fall asleep during their japa. You know, it's a very common. It's actually one of the forms of inattention, pramada, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Harinam Chintamani that when one becomes a victim of this inattentiveness, then it causes one to make very serious namaparads that lead to powerful illusions which create a craving for women, money, position, so many other aspects of material consciousness. So it occurs to me, because I see even this with very senior devotees, that much of a good percentage of their japa period is spent dozing. This is called jajya, which is one of the three forms of inattention. So where, you know, the ounce of prevention is much more powerful than the pound of cure. Now you make the point that we need to take shelter of the holy name, but also in Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a point that the root cause of all offenses to the holy name, come from this inattention. So this is such a common form of inattention, this drowsiness, that I just felt obliged, out of concern, that devotees are aware that this leads to fall down. It's almost guaranteed. I've seen over the years devotees that don't do this, they stay strong. Those that do have serious difficulties later on. It kind of corroborates, the point that Vaidyanatha Thakur makes in Harinam Chintamani.
Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna. So Prabhu, in this purport that Prabhupada is saying, the answer that we have to chant without, not even a moment, no, without, and also, no, what's that, without, not even a moment.
I can't hear you well, can you?
Not even a moment without chanting, what's that? Not a moment without chanting.
I found Satatam Ketya. Aha, therefore in Bhagavad Gita it is advised that one not forget the chanting of the holy name even for a moment.
Not even a moment. And again Prabhupada is saying the same, you see, Prabhupada is saying that that we should chant constantly. What's that again?
That there are so many dangers in the material world that one may fall down from an exalted position at any time. Yet if one keeps himself always pure and steady by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he will be safe without a doubt.
Yeah, so Prabhupada is stressing that not even a moment without chanting. So, we should always keep chanting. But also, Prabhupada says that we are in a position that we will not be able to chant, like Haridas Thakur, all the time. So, you have to say something?
Well, our focus is Sadhatan. What is that? Vismartavina Jatuchi Saraveda Nisheda Sil Etereva Kira. Smart. So the main thing is always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Chanting helps us in that. Definitely. So if we don't chant all the time, at least we should be engaged in something that's in relationship to Krishna. Or in association that's in relationship to Krishna.
But then if
we can't chant all the time, then what to do?
But the more important is chanting.
Yes, more important is chanting, because the most powerful. And it is the process for the stage. And the more easily more quickly to purify us, the more easily enable us to remember Krishna. But again, as Jamashtami Prabhu said, there has to be good quality chanting, otherwise if it's offensive then...
Also, what does it mean without, not even a moment, what it does mean?
Well, constantly... The other moment, you have to be constantly absorbed in Krishna. As much as is possible.
Recently, Pranava Prabhu, he's from, he's originally Italian, but he has been living in Gothenburg, Sweden for many years. And he recently wrote a biography of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur for his PhD. Thesis, and it's been published. Now, I haven't personally read it, I'm anxious too, but from what I heard, that he makes the point in there that within the Gaudiya Math, those that did temple service were required to chant 64 rounds a day. But the preachers, the ones that went out and tried to pull people into Krishna consciousness, their requirement was only 16 rounds a day. So, if we're preachers, if we preach, then there's a lot of protection that comes from that, and as we see from the priority that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur made, it's even more significant service, to, as we know from 1868 and 69, because there you're also chanting, Yaidam paramam guyam mad bhakteshva padhashati bhaktim mayi param kritva mami vaisha yashamshaya. Nacha tajman manusheshu krishtin me priyakritama bhavita na chame tajmad anya priyataro bhuvi. There's no servant more dear to me than he. But that also, in order to do it, in order to, Prabhupada says this in purport after purport, in order to have the strength to preach, we have to chant nicely. But that's also chanting, you know, for preaching. You know, and I know some devotees, like book distributors, they would chant what in their mind. Also, you know, right in the middle of their transactions, their sales. And so chanting within the mind is also a very powerful thing that we can do, you know, just to keep fully engaged. But the main business, you know, Prabhupada said the most essential of all instructions of the spiritual master is the chanting of 16 rounds. So those have to be super quality. No nonsense, you know. Prabhupada said we should use our best intelligence to chant Hare Krishna. That means don't eat a big feast just before you take rest so that you're guaranteed to be sleepy during japa and then create, you know, this horrible, you know, set the stage for all kinds of other offenses that create a horrible illusion that makes you lusty. But this preaching, you know, they go hand in glove. You know, someone who's preaching, then it's much easier for them to chant his rounds. I noticed this. When I would go out and work really hard on book distribution, the quality of my japa the next day would be so much better. And then if I put so much energy into the japa, then the book distribution would be better. It's like an upward spiral of ecstasy.
Yeah, thank you. But somehow it was Prabhupada's mercy that he gave us also these different kinds of engagements, because initially it's very difficult to focus. I mean, but just chanting. But even through other engagements, like you said, through book distribution or even in the kitchen, doing whatever, you can always chant again, even while doing something else.
It's also described that all of the other angas that we execute on the Vaidyasadhana platform should be accompanied by the chanting of Hare Krishna. That gives them the full potency. So that's again shastric support for what you just said.
Well, maybe we should, because I think you know, already, you know, so maybe we can discuss later, because okay, Jai. Thank you all very much, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.